Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to our podcast today. You have tuned into the Art of Decluttering podcast. I am Amy Ravel.
And I am Kirsty Faruja. And I am starting our podcast by saying good Monday to you, Amy.
Good Monday. And it is actually Monday when we're recording because we're recording 1 week ahead this week.
Yay. Yeah, I don't feel duplicitous or lacking in integrity. When I feel like we're lying, even though we're not lying.
Oh, my goodness. No, I've never.
Or we are.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a whole lot going on in your brain that doesn't need to around that. I'm pretty sure people know that we didn't record the podcast 3 minutes before they listened to it, regardless of when they listened to it.
Yes.
Yeah, so I know. It's all good.
I know. I just feel funny. I just don't feel right about saying good Monday to you when it's not Monday.
Oh, but they're not necessarily listening on a Monday anyway, so.
I know.
You can just say good morning to you or good afternoon.
Or hello, good day to you, fine people. Good evening to you, fine people.
How was your day today, Kirst?
It was lovely. I spent it with a beautiful family who are ironically downsizing, or not ironically, that's why we chose it.
Yeah, that's not ironic at all. It was intentional.
Yes, it's our very lived experience today and this week, so that's why we're talking about this topic this week.
Awesome.
So yeah, I had a lovely day with them.
And was there more than one person home?
Yes, so there was the two owners of the house, or the husband and wife of the house, and their two adult daughters and their two of their six children.
Wow, it was a also full house.
Yes, the little girls were not so much help. Being only five, they were probably more unhelpful to their parents than helpful, but it allowed their parents to be there helping their parents. So, yeah, we had three generations there, but only four of them actually working. And, one of the husbands was dropping in and out as well. So it was a very full house.
That sounds kind of fun. Were you kind of directing everything around? Is that how it worked?
No, not really. I was taking guidance from one of the daughters and the owners, but it was very equally shared what we were doing. So I was, the daughters were asking for direction, as were the owners, but then I was also being guided by them as to what it is that they wanted to work on. And it was, interesting because, everybody has their own ideas of what they wanted to get achieved in the day. So,
of course,
fun balancing that.
And they were downsizing in the sense of actually having a smaller home, or were they downsizing in terms of the function of a home? What was that going to look like?
Yeah, they're downsizing in the block of land, definitely. They're moving into over 55's home,
residential
unit
area,
blocks, yeah. unit, yep. you know, residential area. So not a retirement village, but an over 55s area. And so their plot of land is only their house right. and a little bit of, like, no gardening, I'm pretty sure. And this house in at the moment is quite a big block of land, and the they've lived there for quite a number of years, so there's lots. And the husband is very handy and has a lot of tools that he won't necessarily need moving into the new home where there's not so much to do. So it's a really, really interesting case for me to work on, and also a very time pressured one too, because they've put a deposit on their new home and so that got the ball rolling really quickly, and they've got a deadline to pay for the new home and they obviously would love not to have a bridging finance. Yep. So then we've got to get the house not only prepped and ready for photos, ready for sale, but also photo for that. And they want to do it all in one bang without too much storage use.
Great.
So it's just interesting dynamics at play. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
But you and Jack have also been working on a downsize. What's that
yes,
look like?
Yes, on Friday, Jack and I worked with a family that were downsizing. So they had been in their home for 32 years and they were actually moving next door. So they'd purchased the house next door, have renovated it, and they're downsizing into that. So less burdensome gardening, but also really smart use of space and appropriate for them in their retirement years. So we didn't have to do any packing. We just literally put stuff in trolleys and went from one house to the other. So I was in one house decluttering with the client and Jack was in the other house setting up the new house. So that was really fun. It was a beautiful day and everything just went perfectly.
Oh, and how much fun to be able to do it all in one hit as well.
Yeah, so the house wasn't finished, so there were no carpets, blinds, painting still needed to be done, so they're probably still 4 weeks off moving in, but what we did is we moved in the areas that they wouldn't need in the interim. So that was really great, being able to go through with the client in the current house and say, okay, is there any likelihood that you're desperately going to need children's books, or if your grandkids want a story, could you make up a story for them? Could you ask them to bring over a book? And so, okay, great, all the kids' books can go over. And so we just went that process all the way through the house. So we were only there for 6 hours. So it was really, really lovely. And I think the process when you've been in a home for decades, the process of curating your life really to downsize is a really hefty one, but also such a joyful process. I really loved my client rediscovering things, and there were things that she'd discover and she'd go, oh my gosh, I forgot about this. But then she'd still let it go. And she's like, you know, like at my age, this is me remembering it. Like this is that moment that I've been saving it for. And once I've had this moment, I'm really happy to let it go. So that was a joy to be part of.
Awesome. So let's get into some tips and tricks for some people who are listening, who might be considering downsizing, or their parents might be considering downsizing. What would be your first tip?
My first tip would be don't discount downsizing before retirement. I know that there was a family that joined our Head, Heart and Home course earlier this year, maybe the end of last year, and they as a family downsized with young children and realized that they didn't actually need all the house and all the garden that they had and all the mortgage. And so downsizing is part of intentional living, not necessarily just we're getting older and we don't want to have to maintain the house. So I think the first thing that I think it's important for people to think about is you can downsize at any time. Whether like we were talking to Sarah Taylor a few weeks ago with tiny living, whether it's a shipping container or a tiny house, or whether you're just wanting to lose a bedroom, maybe wanting to lose a living space, or as your clients were, wanting to lose a garden that it's important to maintain.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. Yeah, let's Yeah, we our heart, as I said in that episode a couple of weeks ago, our heart really is for people to live intentionally. So if you can see yourself living in less space and you think that that might actually help you to be able to live the life that you're wanting to live and to be more intentional in your space, then yeah, totally consider downsizing.
Yeah, my parents live in a really big house, so sometimes downsizing can mean choosing to only use part of your home. So my parents have bedrooms upstairs that really are only used when my sister comes from interstate and her and the kids and her hubby stay up there. And so sometimes you can downsize within your house to say, actually, we're just going to live in this part of the house. I know Cal's parents have done that a bit as well. And to really, you know, then you're not heating and cooling and all of the things in those spaces. So that's just that. They're my caveats. I know you'll have a good caveat, so I'm joining the caveat train. Oh, caveat train. That sounds like caviar and gravy, and now I'm hungry. I think it's important when you're downsizing to think about why you're downsizing. Is it because you want a simpler life? Is it because you want to move to a property that's got less maintenance? Like, think about the why, because that really affects what you keep. It can be, and I have seen it happen, easy for you to just pack up all your life and move it into a smaller house but hide it away in all the cupboards. Have you seen that, Kirst?
Yes. Well, that's what I'm discovering with this client at the moment. They have got two adult children who have got their own homes and their own families, and yet they've got a three-bedroom home which is full of stuff. So it is, you know, they just took over the places where their daughters were living, so, and have made it their own, which is totally fine because it's their house and they have every right to do that. But yeah, just deciding what it is that, yeah, just being really intentional about what it is that your why is really important. And I think that's what I was going to say, is having that real clear vision for that new house or that next home, and having that why really helps you. And having that vision, like, how do you want to feel in that new home? How are you going to be living in that new home? Like, for these clients of mine, they're moving into a over 55's estate, and so they've got a community room there, they've got pools, they've got, you know, a community built into that estate. Yeah. And so it's really about, okay, so what do you want this next season to look like for you? You know, do you currently have people over? Yes or no? Okay, are those people going to be visiting in your new place? Are you going to be creating new friends that you're wanting to be able to have over really easily for cups of coffee and tea? Do you want your grandchildren to come over? Do you want are grandchildren going to be sleeping over at your house? Like, what does it, you know, and that's specific to this client, but what is that vision that you have for this new home? And how does your stuff that you currently have fit into that vision? Which is the same for anybody moving home. You know, these are great questions to ask yourself, whether you're downsizing, upsizing, or just moving next door.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, if it was me and I was downsizing, or I was giving someone advice on their downsize, I would actually encourage them to declutter first to help them determine what spaces they actually do need. Because there's actually, you know, if you were to move into, say, a one-bedroom apartment, there could well be room for the children to stay over. There could be room for all your special things, room to keep your hobbies. You don't necessarily need to downsize, because a lot of downsizers now are downsizing to a three-bedroom, two-living space house, which is larger than a lot of families are living in. So I think until you really know what you have and where you might like to keep it, you know, as you said with your client, lots of tools. Okay, well, maybe there's a centralized place at the estate that could donate all the tools, so you don't need to keep them in the garage. Or maybe you want to donate them to a men's shed, or someone has really enjoyed picture framing, but their retirement life does not include picture framing, and so they don't need space for that. I think it's really important to do that declutter to actually see what it is that you're wanting to move. And maybe come up with some creative solutions. Maybe you don't need to be the holder of all of the 50 photo albums. Maybe you could get the grandkids to scan photos for you. You know, like, there's lots of creative ways to think, I actually don't need as much space as we have because our life is changing. Our lifestyle is changing at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's been the joy in this, working with these clients, is they're like, oh, well, where are we going to put this bookcase? And I was like, well, let's stop before we start talking about storage solutions. Why don't we declutter first? Because you may not even need a bookcase in the end.
Yes.
Or you may need a bookcase, but it might need it. Instead of having three bookcases, you might need one, but it may need to be bigger than one of the ones that you already have, because we're decluttering a lot, but it still needs more space than just one that you have. So you might actually need a new piece of furniture if that's the case. Or we're packing, because what we're doing, what I'm doing with this client is that really trying not to do a three-stage move. We're actually decluttering and packing. Kind of like what you're doing, but we're just not trolling it next door.
Yeah. And unpacking and setting it up.
Packing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's to come for me. But at the moment, we're just packing. So I am asking those questions. Okay, in the next 2 months, do you think you're going to use this? No? Right. Great. Let's pack it up. But in that, we're also thinking, we are thinking ahead to what the new home is going to look like, but not having any set ideas about what that's going to be like. So sometimes you can go, okay, we're just keeping this one bookcase and therefore we need to make sure all the books fit in this bookcase.
Yeah.
Whereas we're not doing that at this stage. We're going, actually, let's go through and see everything that we want to keep. And then when we move to the new house in 2 months' time or 4 months' time, when we pull out that bookcase that we are putting aside to move into the new home, we will see what fits in there. And if need be, we'll declutter more, or we might get a new piece of furniture. It really depends on what this client decides. And when I'm working with other clients, it's like, okay, well, are we making sure it fits in this one bookcase? Okay, then let's be really strategic. Only 200 books can fit in this bookcase. So let's only get it down to 200, or, you know, we can continue decluttering when we set up at the new home as well.
Are you loving getting into decluttering in your home, but feel like some of the things just aren't staying how they should, or you're finding piles or recollecting around the house? Are you getting a bit frustrated that you're not seeing the success that you thought that you would? Well, Kirst and I are excited to let you know about our online decluttering course that teaches you not only how to get an organized and decluttered home, but really importantly, how to keep it that way. So we would love you to come and join our course community. We have an interactive and amazing Facebook group, and all of the course is self-paced, so you can jump online whenever you like and go through our 6 modules that will take you from being overwhelmed to an organizing guru. So just visit artofdecluttering.com.au/course and come and join us. We can't wait to have you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, I recently, everything feels like recently for me, probably 7 or 8 months ago, I helped a client move out of an inner city apartment in Melbourne, and they were retiring down to Hobart. And it was a beautiful job. They were in a 2-bedroom apartment. And so what we did is we did the full declutter so that packers and movers could come in. So his work was going to pack and move them. So we didn't have to do any of that. But what we decided is when you're doing a really long move or a move that requires someone, you know, like transport, not just hiring a budget truck or whatever, is to think about whether you do really want to take some big pieces of furniture. There were bookshelves, there were couches that they'd had in the house for 15, 20 years and were in perfectly good condition. But she was like, do you know what? We're going to retire in the next 5 years. We're downsizing now. Why don't we sell these couches and get the couches that we would love to retire into? And so for them, it was a great season of letting go of a heap of their existing furniture and then going, when we get down to Hobart, we're actually going to buy the things that we want to use and the things that we want to, you know, have for that final 30 years. It was a really interesting process of saying, well, we could keep this couch, but it's probably going to cost us $150 to transport it. Why don't we sell it and then put the $150 on top of the sale price and buy a new one in Hobart?
Yeah, and it's always tricky. You know, this is the conversations that I'm having with my clients, this particular client at the moment, is because they don't know, they haven't sold their house yet, so they don't know their budget, but they have a specific budget for their new home. So they know what they're paying for their new home, but they don't know how much they're going to get for this home. And so it's very, it's understandably, they're making a lot of choices around cash flow and deciding what, you know, so at the moment they're thinking that they're not going to have a lot of they're not going to make a profit on the sale of their home.
Right.
In fact, it's going to be quite a tight budget, to move. So, they're not downsizing from a mortgage perspective. They're just downsizing from a land perspective.
Yes.
So then it makes some decisions just have to be delayed until they sell the house and know how much, you know, if they did make, you know, if they have got some spare cash, because then that might make, that will impact the decisions that they make going forward. You know, it will make it, it will impact whether or not they do buy a new bookcase or they just take that bookcase and live with that bookcase until they can save up for a new one.
Exactly.
So it's just, nothing's black and white. You know, every family is unique. Every situation is different. And they're decisions that you have to make for your family. And, you know, even so much like today we had a property stylist come in and they gave a quote for how much it would be to style their house. And because it is quite a big block of land, there's also the decision, like they're umming and ahhing about property styling because they're not sure if a developer is going to come in and buy, buy the property. So then does it really matter if it's styled? But then you don't know who is going to be selling that, who's going to be buying it. So then it's probably a great investment to invest in property styling if it can add tens of thousands of dollars onto the sale price. So, but then so nothing's guaranteed, is it?
No,
so
it's nothing's so guaranteed. Kirst, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you and Simon talked yet about if you were downsized and what that would look like in the future, or is that not a conversation that you've ever talked about?
We have, but we... it's so far in the future that... it's almost dream-like.
Yes.
Like there's no, you know, we go, oh, would we move up to, you know, up to bush or would we go into the city or do we have both? Do we have a weekend? You know, like everything's so, it's so dream-like because, you know, we dream of having a ton of money, you know, like, or we go, oh, actually we're going to sell up, you know, and we're also like, who knows what the kids, it's just so dream-like because it's so far away, you know, our kids are still in primary school, they're nowhere near university age, so, and they're nowhere near getting married and moving out of home or, you know, not getting married, but moving out of home, like, it just seems so far away that we haven't, invested too much dream time into that because I'm such a future thinker. Like, I love dreaming about the future and what that could look like. You know, let me be honest, even yesterday, I just was like, I'm going to put in a no limit on my search on domain.com.au. There's going to be no upper limit. There's going to be a starting limit, which is still ridiculous. And I put in 4 bedrooms. So it was presuming that the kids are still going to be here. And it was put, and I put in a pool. So I had like, okay, in 3 years' time, if we won the lottery, even though we don't play lottery, what right. could this
if
look
somehow
like?
Somehow we had so much money that we could do whatever we wanted.
Yeah. Like, that's how ridiculously, but you know, and that was really silly of me, because now all I can think about are these amazing houses, and I'm like, how can I get $10 million? Like, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And I'm like that, but Simon is the absolute opposite. Like, he'll sit and dream with me for a couple of minutes, but then he'll just go, this is silly. Like, this is just ridiculous. Why are we even thinking about this?
Because it's so fun to think about.
What about you guys?
Yeah, we haven't talked about
it. It's fun, but it's also, we don't know what the future holds. So we're also like, we go, well, it would depend on if the kids lived overseas, or if they wanted us to be close to them, or if we wanted to, if we had, because Sydney is ridiculous. Like, a house, you know, there's houses in my suburb that are selling for $2 million.
What?
So, and we live 40 kilometers outside of the city, like, and we live 40 minutes drive in no peak, like, so we live far out of the city, and yet there's still houses going for more than $2 million in our suburb.
Are they McMansions that are selling for that price?
Yeah, they are, but that's not like, they're not McMansions. They're not McMansions. Okay. They're large homes, and they can be multi generational homes, but they're not
$2 million though, Kirst.
No, that's my point. They're family homes.
Yeah,
they're family homes in suburbia, and they're $2 million. So then, when I go, so that's why it makes it hard, because I go, okay, yeah, like, let's move closer to the city. We're looking at $3.5 million for a 2-bedroom unit.
Oh my gosh,
closer to the
sick.
City. Yes. So that's what I mean. It's really silly to dream, and really not, it's not silly to dream. It's fine to dream, but it makes it, it's ridiculous. It's pointless.
You don't have a framework for that kind of dreaming.
No. And even like, literally, like, the other place that we would love to move to in Sydney Basin would be Currajong. And Currajong houses are also $2 million houses. Like, and that's an hour and a half out of the city. Do you know, like, it's just ridiculous. Sydney is
ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know where it's not ridiculous?
Where?
I was going to say Melbourne, but I could also tease you and say Noosa.
No, I was just looking at houses in Noosa too, and ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Okay, just come back to Melbourne then.
Still ridiculous.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I've bought a house.
Yeah, I was like, my parents are selling their house that we've spoken about, and they're going to get some good money for it, my parents and my sister, but not enough to, like, to also buy in Greensboro. Like, mum and dad can't really afford to downsize to a unit in Greensboro.
What?
So it's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I can understand.
So sorry,
why people
to kill
are
your dreams.
You totally have. That's okay. Part of my dreams is a tiny house, and I can afford that. That's probably all I can afford. Do you and Simon want to come and live with Cal and I in a tiny house? Simon can cook.
Simon doesn't even want to live in a tiny house with me. What would make you think he wants to live in a tiny house with you and Cal?
That's gold. Yes. Nothing. I dream of downsizing pretty much as soon as the kids are out of home. I'm not someone who likes unused rooms. So there's not a room in our house that's not regularly used, and I am a huge fan of only having what you need. Otherwise, you're heating, cooling, insulating, paying rates, paying mortgage, all of those things on a space that you actually do not need. So who knows? But, you know, Kirst, we could be in the same position. We can't afford to downsize, which is a really interesting position to be in financially, and probably says more about the property market and economics than you or I are qualified to speak on.
Yes.
But I think there is also, so just to come back to the downsizing, is there's also a mentality of downsizing that I think that you and I have both, is part of minimalism, is it's the downsizing mentality. What do I want to take with me into the next stage of my life? And even though you may stay in the same house, you may sleep in the same bed, you've got the same amount of people, you can go through your home and treat it as if you're downsizing. Like, why does every wardrobe in the spare room and the kids' room have to be full of stuff? It doesn't. You can actually downsize where you are, and that's an encouragement to you as well this week.
Yeah, and that's what, like, you know, stories of people, you know, that we know, like as you mentioned earlier, somebody in our course who downsized their physical surroundings, you know, being able to pay less rent so that they could save more for a deposit on a house and to be able to buy a house. But they were able to do that because they downsized their possessions.
Yes.
So that they could downsize their house and work towards their own financial goals. So, and, you know, there's so many stories of minimalism, you know, and so many stories within minimalism is about financial freedom and what downsizing your possessions has meant for your financial freedom. And, you know, that's one of our hearts, you know, that's part of our heart for you as well.
When I got home from work today, Kirst, I was out with a client. It was bucketing down rain in Melbourne. So I drove 50 minutes home and I got home and I just took time to enjoy our life, because I came into the house, the kids were both in their bedrooms doing remote learning, and I came in, Cal was in his office, and I thought, oh, I'm going to light the fire. So I went and got the wood and I lit the fire, and then I just sat in front of the fire. There was no, when I got home from work, I was done. Like, this, recording a podcast, which I love, is actually the only thing I needed to do after 3 o'clock today. And so I got to just sit in front of the fire. I did some invoicing. I did a little bit of admin. And it was just so lovely to feel like when I got home from work, there wasn't a whole lot of things that had been neglected that had to be done. Now, Cal had been home, so he had done some washing. He'd done a load of dishes. But that's like, that's pretty normal. And it was just beautiful. I sat down. I did a little few pieces on a puzzle that we're working on. Like, that's the intentional life that we speak about all the time. And I think sometimes it's just nice to stop and smell the wood fire in your home or the roses in your garden to realize that actually we're doing it. This is the life we want. So I thought I'd encourage people that it is possible. You don't have to downsize to have the life that you want. You can have it now as well. All right, Kirst, have you got a review you can hit us with?
It's a long one.
It's a long one. Go for it.
I do. It is a long one. It's by Blue Mountains Mum. So, hello, neighbour. How are you? Says, enjoying the journey. Hi, Kirsty and Amy. You'll be flattered to know that even though I listen to lots of podcasts, this is the first time I have ever done a rate and review.
Woo! Yay! That's awesome.
Thank you. I have been listening to your podcast since last year, and am up to date with them from when I first subscribed. Even all the ISO ones.
Well, Jeepers
congratulations,
creepers.
Blue Mountains Mum.
You still like so us, now Blue Mountains, I have, Mum.
I know, thank you. So now I have gone back to the very beginning and I'm working my way through as I plod along on my personal decluttering journey. I have 7 children, congratulations, and I spent 22 years with between 1 and 6 children home full-time, including 9 years of homeschooling.
Oh my gosh, wow. Take my hat off.
Yes, needless to say, in the last 2.5 years since my youngest went to school, I have found myself with a lot of accumulated decluttering to do. I first found your podcast by accident and was thrilled to discover that there were some fellow Aussies podcasting on this topic, as prior to that, all the ones I found were US-based, which meant that I was constantly having to flip seasons upside down and translate American terms to Australian ones. Well, that's what our American listeners have to do for us. I have really enjoyed getting to know you both. I love the way you're real and practical. I also appreciate your Christian faith shining through. To me, a satisfying day is listening to you two while I potter around home, making inroads in my decluttering and gradually realizing my vision for my family nest. I am looking forward to when the bulk of the hard work is done and I can move into maintenance mode and hopefully have the headspace to rediscover my creative passions and interests. Thank you for your company, encouragement, and practical advice. Blue Mountains Mum.
Oh, that is an awesome review.
That's awesome.
So good. Blue Mountains Mum, here's what you've inspired me to do. I've been thinking the last couple of weeks that I'm not a massive reviewer because I don't listen to podcasts on Apple Podcasts. So I'm going to go open it up on my desktop and I'm going to leave at least 3 reviews for podcasts that I love. I'm going to do that this afternoon before we have dinner. You inspired me.
Oh, thank you. That was a really, really lovely thing to find on my after a day of decluttering. So thank you, Blue Mountains Mum. And, you know, if we ever do a live show in Sydney, you'll have to come down from the mountains and come and visit us.
So lovely. And thank you to so many of you that have left reviews. While you've been in isolation, I know that, well, we know that it can be a crazy time for some of you. Others like me have found it a pretty relaxing time. But every review makes a big difference to us. It encourages us in what we're doing. It helps other people to find us. Like this Blue Mountains Mum, who hadn't been listening from the start, she discovered us. And that's probably thanks to some reviews that you have left. So big, big thank you. Be a superstar. Leave us a review this week and we'll read it out soon on the show.
Yay. People, I love the excitement that people have when, you know, we listen to 2P's podcast and when people have their words spoken out or said on the speak pipe, like I see the excitement. And I know from other people who we've read out the reviews that they get excited when they hear their name mentioned or their moniker mentioned. So, I am inspired to leave some reviews or to hop on the 2P's speak pipe so I can hear my own voice even more.
That's right. Because what do you need more in your life, Kirst, than more of Kirstie. Listening to your own voice?
Yeah.
Equally, you don't need to hear mine anymore.
Yes. So on that note, we will leave you all with that laughter and joy from Amy and I. And we can't wait to be with you again next week.
Yay.
Speaking about something that we don't know yet.
We haven't decided. But if you've got an opinion on what we should talk about next week, drop us an email at hello@theartofdecluttering.com.au or jump over onto our Facebook page. Leave us a message and it may well be your topic next week. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.